So I thought today, instead of continuing in the study of Luke, we will just pause for a moment and do a devotional, kind of a topical devotional concerning the will of the Lord be done. So we're going to look at a lot of scriptures. If you got a pen and paper, you can take it out and do that. Or if you want my notes, let me know. I'll be glad to send them to you in that way. But the will of the Lord be done. It's such a beautiful thing, and it's really easier than we realize. Sometimes, I don't know about you guys, I complicate it. Anybody here besides me overthink things? I mean, I overthink. Do guys overthink more than girls, or that's not true? No. It goes both ways, does it not? So, but I wanted to start out with Psalm 40 and just hear a few general thoughts concerning the will of the Lord being done in our lives. In Psalm 40, look at verse 8. There. Oh, I'm on. That wouldn't work. I'm over here. Notice it says, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. We delight to do his will, do we not? The will of the Lord be done. And secret to this is the law is written within our hearts. The moment that we accepted Jesus Christ, something happened that was supernatural. And you guys know what it was. The third person of the triune God, the Holy Spirit, stepped into our lives. And he's written things upon our hearts. That's how we know things that there's no way that we should know. We're aware. Now, Scripture comes alive to us, does it not? When we're in the Scripture, you know, you read that, and there's so much depth in that there. Again, I delight to do your will. We get a challenge. Lord, do I really delight? Is it the light of my heart? So we get challenged that way. And the Holy Spirit searches us and encourages us. He never condemns us. He may convict us, but he encourages us that, I don't know about you guys, but I want more delight to do the will of the Lord. I want to do the will of the Lord. But it is written upon my heart. Go to Psalm 143. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures. We're not going to turn to every one of them, but here in the beginning, I wanted to just turn to scriptures here. Psalm 143, verse 10. So knowing God's will is the result of the inward law written within our hearts. That was Psalm 40, verse 8. And now the number two thing we want to look at here today is we can be taught by God to do his will if we ask him through prayer and we are obedient. We can be taught by God to do his will. Psalm 143, verse 10. Notice the psalmist cries out, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the way of uprightness. Notice the weight is upon the Lord. Lord, teach me to do your will. Teach me, instruct me to do that. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful relationship, is it not? We listen to the Lord. We want his will to be done in our life daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, our entire life. We would like to do that. But we're not bound up. We're not afraid to move because there is this joy that is in our life. And God is the one that does the work in our lives, as we know. Teach me, Lord. I want to be taught to do your will. You're my God. You are God. So you can do that. Your spirit is good. So your spirit will guide me. Lead me in the land of uprightness. So as I live this life, Lord, lead me. We trust him. We cry out to that. And let's go to Matthew chapter 12, please. Thank you, those that are joining by internet. It's great to have you with us too this morning. Matthew chapter 12, verse 50. Knowing and doing the will of God establishes a divine relationship. And that's an amazing thing when you think about it. A divine relationship is established as we know and we do the will of God. Here in Matthew chapter 12, verse 50. Am I in the right place? Yeah, there it is. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. There's a lot to be taught about that, but a relationship is established, I believe. That's what Jesus is doing. So again, knowing and doing the will of God establishes a relationship. We have a relationship with God. That is amazing. And it can never be broken. We can just love him and stay close to him. Turning away from the things of this world enables us to discover the will of God. Romans chapter 12. Go there, please. Verse 2. Turning away from the things of this world enables us to discover the will of God. And so there's responsibility. If we want to find the will of the Lord, then it's good for us to turn away from the things of this world and turn toward Him. Verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now look at that verse again. Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of mind, that you may, it's a possibility, prove what is good and acceptable, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that can be accomplished in our lives. It's a promise, as we see in Scripture. All we have to do is, as it says there in verse 1, it says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your act of worship. And as we do that, then we learn we don't want to be conformed to this world. Lord, transform my thinking, my brain. Think it, cause it to think different. Then my life will be there to find your perfect will. Ephesians chapter 6, please turn there. We can not only know, but we can do the will of God from our hearts when we have a wholehearted attitude towards God. Look at verse 6, Ephesians chapter 6. Well, let's start in verse 5. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your master, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God. From where, does it say? From the heart. We can do that. We can do the will of God from our hearts. We can. It's all there for us as we yield ourselves to us to Him. Go to 1 John, just before Revelation chapter 2, please. You guys like traveling through the Scriptures? It's wonderful to do that. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. Let's read that together. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God, what are the next two words? Abides, how long? Forever. Do we believe that today? So another reason that we would do the will of God, we can abide forever in a very special relationship. So if we do the will of God, we shall abide in God forever. Now, just some thoughts concerning what is God's will for me. Anybody ever wondered that? What is God's will for me? We seek that out, and we should do that all the time. Go with me, please, to John chapter 20. What is the will of God for me? John chapter 20, verse 31 gives us some insight into that. Wait a minute. John chapter 20, verse 31, where it says, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in Him. God's will for us is to be saved. It's that simple. For every single person on this planet, that's His will. We have no doubt, because right here in Scripture, that a person would be saved from the sins of their life, saved from eternal separation from God. It's God's will. It's His perfect will for every single person that's on this earth. But it gets down to choice sometimes. God's will for us is to be sanctified. I'm not going to turn here, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, it says, this is the will of God, your sanctification. What is sanctification? To be separated from the world. And so we don't have to worry about that. We just look at black and white letters on pages and red letters on pages, if your Bible's a red letter edition, and we find the will of God very simply. It gets a little more challenging beyond that, but He wants to reveal His will to us. God's will for us is to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and to give thanksgiving in all circumstances. There in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. God's will for us is to do good which will cause us to be a witness for him in the world. Peter addressed this when he said, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." And so that's the will of God. As I said, you look at Scripture, another Scripture, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 says, "For you have need of endurance, so that you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." So God's will for us is to have endurance, to persevere, to be steadfast, so that we may receive his promises. Sometimes it takes a while for his promises to come. Anybody been praying for somebody for over a year to give their heart to Jesus? Yeah. How about 2 years? Over 2 years. How about 5 years? Anybody 10 years praying for somebody? How about beyond 10 years? Yeah. But do we believe that it's God's will that they be saved? I do. I know that they have to make a choice, but that I believe that it's God's will, and I pray that way. I truly, truly do. It's good to do that. God's will for us is to have that, as I said, that perseverance. God's will for us is to be led by the Holy Spirit and not yield to the flesh. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the desires of the flesh." Real easy. All we have to do is go right there and we will bring glory to God, and we will the will of the Lord will be done in our lives. How does God speak to us? How does he speak to us? Number one, obviously, what? The Word of God. We know that he speaks to us. All Scripture, in Timothy, Paul said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I thank the Lord, and I've said this before, I thank the Lord that I was born again spiritually in a church that was in the Word of God. Because right from the beginning, right even the night that we accepted the Lord, a person challenged, "Do you want to be strong Christian?" Yeah, of course. You know, we didn't know much about it. It was only a couple minutes into being a Christian at that point. "Do you want to be a strong Christian?" Of course. "I want to be whatever I can do the best. I want to do that." He said, "Read the Word and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Oh, okay. And that was Scripture. He just used Scripture to tell us how important it is to be in the Word of God. It'll change our lives. And we just believed it. You guys believe it today? Yeah. Be in the Word of God. And I'm thankful for you guys. I look at you guys and I'm so thankful. I know people of the Word, and it's important that we be. How do we know, how does God speak to us? Obviously through prayer. In 1 John 5, it says this, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we ask of him." That is amazing. What a great promise. It takes faith. It really does. Especially when we don't see the answer right away. And then we have to wait maybe a year, 2 years, or 5 years, or 10 years. But I still believe. Praying for somebody, Vi and I are praying for somebody we love dearly. We've been praying. You know, we've been praying 20 more, some years, and we believe that he'll do that. How does God speak to us? The leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Scripture says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." That's how we know his will. And so this is maybe a bit repetitious, but it's good. How do we learn? Repetition, repetition, repetition. It's very important that we would know that. Some life-destroying lies that keep us from knowing God's will. So there are things out there that if we buy into them, we won't be as confident as we need to be that God will reveal his will to us. And so there's lies out there. Have you ever heard this lie? "God is punishing me." Anybody? "God is punishing me." God doesn't want to punish us. He really doesn't. He may convict us. He wants that. The enemy condemns us. He drives us away from the cross. God convicts us and drives us to the cross. God doesn't want to punish us. He doesn't want to punish anyone in reality. Some will choose to be punished ultimately by not accepting Jesus. If we've accepted Jesus, the hostility, it tells us in Romans, has ceased. There's no hostility. So that's a lie from the enemy. That's something that is created in our flesh in some way. He does not want to punish us. That's Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, if you want to write that one down. God can never use me again. Anybody ever believe that or felt that? Come on, anybody? God can never use me again. Is that God's voice? No way. He'll never say that to us. He'll never say, I'm finished with you. Because God's will is such a beautiful thing for us. It truly is. Be confident of this very thing, that he who's begun a good work in us will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. Is that not powerful? Oh, come on. Is that not powerful? It is. It really is powerful. That's his will for us. So he won't punish us, and he will never, never say, I can never use you again. He won't do that. All we have to do is repent. Truly repent, and then we're back with him. Our relationship is strong once again. Anybody ever hear this? God is fed up with me. I have, you know, been there time. Just God, I don't know what you guys, you ever have a crying fit? Woe is me. You know, sometimes I have a woe is me I've had in my past. Woe is me. And just, God, you just use somebody else. Just, you know, there's other people that can do better. Are there other people can do better? Yes. But what am I called to do? And if I'm called to do, I fight through. Whatever he's called me to do, I keep fighting through whatever it is, no matter what the enemy throws in my mind, whatever my flesh begins to say in that way. God is not fed up with us. He wouldn't do that. He'd never do that. God is not like a human being. He does not hold a grudge. His love for us is everlasting. Amen? Everlasting. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so yesterday he loved you. Today, is he fed up with you? No, it's the same God. Simple, isn't it? It's that simple. He's a God of love that we see. Now, this one. And this feels real at times. I'll never be happy again. I mean, there's some circumstances we go through, is there not? People do die. Our hearts are broken. I'll never be happy again. But with God, there's a happiness that he has for us in him. There's a joy that is wonderful. We see that. This is not true, because God's desire is to overflow us with his hope and his joy. So, you know, just allow that to sink in. When we go the wrong direction, then we fight back. And that's why we look at these black letters on white pages, these red letters on red pages. You know, we just read it and God will speak to us. Some things we need to remember about God's knowing God's will. Just a few things here. Some things we need to remember about knowing God's will. Number one, God wants us to know his will more than we want to know his will. I'll say that again. God wants us to know his will more than we want to know his will. Don't you think that's true? He does that. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. He wants us to know his will. He wants to guide us and love us and protect us and do that. We may have to search. Sometimes he gives us A in the whole alphabet. We want B, C, D, E, F, and G, and so on. But he only gives us the A. So it's his will at that point to give us only A. But he has a wonderful, wonderful plan for us. And he wants to do that more than we at times want his will. He wants his will to be revealed to us. You won't miss God's plan if your heart is set on pleasing him. That's another thing. You won't miss God's plan if your heart is set on pleasing him. Philippians 1:6, I've already quoted it. Be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Pretty simple, isn't it? Is it easy? Not necessarily. It's challenging. So that's where discipline comes in and obedience comes in. Lord, I want your will to be done in my life. I want that to be done. It's a precious thing. But don't get bound up. Don't be afraid, because sometimes we do, as I said, get afraid. I'm going to miss it. I'm going to get it. All of a sudden, we're bound up and we fall into legalism, and we're not to be there. We're not to be there. Is it good to do his will? You bet. Just trust him and He'll do that for us. God has perfect plans for imperfect people. I love that. In Psalm 37, it says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his right hand." Isn't that a beautiful psalm? I'll read it again. "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." God has perfect plans for imperfect people. He's got perfect plans for you and I. Perfect plans. I love the testimony Ron gets, and he gets excited about this, obviously, about the football team where these young men accepted the Lord. How many, Ron? 14, you know. Him and another guy, and Ron was the assistant. Yeah. And then how many got baptized? 10. Yeah. Pretty neat, isn't it? It's exciting to be in the midst of the Lord's will. It was just something that God did, right? It was just something. He didn't force it. He just allowed God to do that. And God will give direction to anyone who asks. I believe that. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. He gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." So do we believe that today? I pray that just being like bathed with God's word about us knowing and doing his will in a very special way. God knows the future, so we don't have to. We only need to know the next thing to do. Amen? That's all. God knows it. He's in charge of it. I'm not. I don't have to worry about it. I can trust him one day at a time. Maybe he'll give me two. I like it when he gives me a week. I can see ahead, and sometimes he points other things further down the road. But God knows the future. We don't have to. We only need to know the next thing to do. In Matthew chapter 6, it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So again, you know, the Lord's will be done. The will of the Lord be done in our lives. And then I love this let's go to Job chapter 23, please. Job. Job chapter 23. I love these two verses. God is always at work behind the scenes, and he has your best interest at heart. Notice in verse 9, Job crying out, "When he, God, works on the left hand, I cannot behold him. When he turns to the right hand, I cannot see him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold." Though we can't figure it out all the time, God's there. That's what Job's saying. I don't know why I went through this. I loved the Lord. I was righteous beforehand, and all of a sudden all these things happened to me, and here it is, you know. Lord, I loved you, and I really wanted to follow you, and all of a sudden all these things happened. How'd you like to be Job? That would be challenging for sure. And so that's what he's crying out again. Look in verse 9. "But he, God, works on the left hand. I cannot behold him. When he turns to the right hand, I cannot see him." So he was bewildered. But he comes to verse 10. "But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold." And it's a promise that we have in Scripture. God is always at work behind the scenes, and he has your best interest at heart. And if the Bible forbids it, don't bother praying about it. Let me say that one again. If the Bible forbids it, don't bother praying about it. You know, you just don't need to pray about it. If the Bible forbids it, don't go there. It says, don't steal. Well, you don't have to pray about if I should steal or not. We wouldn't do that anyway. But that's just a true. And God's timing is always perfect. Not one moment early, not one day late. Give God time to work. Amen? We just moved into a new house. We downsized, you know, because our family's gone this way. And so Vi and I downsized this week. And just the perfect timing of God. Perfect timing of God. God or if I broke her ankle in the midst of this, okay? And I just go, really, Lord? You know, you ever do that? Really? In the midst of, you know, she's right in the heart of us moving and all that. Really? How's this going to work? But it just worked out that months and months and months before, God knew that she would break her ankle. And so John David and Kirsty, my daughter Kirsty and John David, and the grandkids would come. And then all you wonderful people, I forgot to thank people in the first service. Thank you for helping out. And these people showed up that could show up. And all of a sudden, Dave managed the truck. And it was wonderful he did that. And then all this thing, it came together. And we're, after 6 days, we're 95% in the house. Just amazing. But watching how God put it all together. God is good. He truly is. He loves us. God's timing is always perfect. Always perfect. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And the last thing for this morning, like I said, it was a devotional. Just to look at it a little bit. God guides to knowing God's will. If you've been around here, you've heard me teach this before. And if you have not, I encourage you to write this down, please. Very important. Guides to knowing God's will. The first thing that has to happen is we need to walk in a love relationship with God. We've got to be in love with the Lord to find his will in that way. And so keep that love relationship going on. Whatever it takes in your life, stay in your devotion. Stay in church. Stay wherever God would have you to be. Stay close to him. As we draw close to him, he'll draw close to us. So that's number one. Number two, stay in the Word of God. You want to know his will and you want to do it? Just stay in the Word of God. Number three, stay in prayer. Stay in prayer. Now, as I'm in the Word of God every year, so I go through the Bible, I read through the Bible, and it's just really beneficial to me. It's my devotional. My devotion's a way of doing it, just reading through the Scriptures. So often I find God just said, I can't believe it, Lord. There it is. I've been praying about this. There it is. And then as I'm going through there, I go, oh, so you want me to pray about that, Lord? Just by being in the Word of God, he speaks to me, guides me in my prayer life that way. It's a wonderful relationship. Peace that rules our heart is number three, that you see that. God, that peace that rules our heart, Colossians 3:15. There's a peace that guides us. You ever have, you know, you ever go into a situation, you go, oh, I'm not supposed to be here. Anybody? This is not the direction I'm supposed to go. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to us, not giving us peace. But other times I'll go and I'll go, oh, there it is. Not an emotion, but that inner peace that goes beyond understanding in that way. Wise counsel, number four. Seek out wise counsel. First of all, the Word of God between you and God. Then as God directs you, go beyond. As he shows you who to speak to. Have people that you can go to and open your heart to. That you trust that they'll hear you and they'll speak the truth. They won't compromise in any way. So wise counsel. Circumstances is number five. Circumstances, just walking with the Lord. Have you ever heard me say there's nothing more exciting than walking with God? A lot of times it is just looking. Where are you, Lord? What's going on? I learned that with Mike McIntosh, who I served in San Diego, Pastor Mike. And I just learned that because wherever he went, I traveled with him extensively throughout the world. He always had his antennas up, you know. He had them up and he was, okay, where are you, God, in the midst of this circumstance? What's going on? What do you want to say? Just that awareness of God is very important. Practice the awareness of God. Know that he's with us and he's wanting to speak to us and he wants to give us wise counsel, and he'll do that through circumstances that are there. Divine revelation. God can use prophecy. God can use dreams. He can use a lot of things to speak to us in that way. And then the timing of things. Just so interesting, God's timing. You ever do that? You're just going along in life and there it is. And all these things that come together and there's that person saying this and that. And the whole thing comes together. That's doing the will of God, being in the midst of it. Then after you've done all of that, and I'm not saying you have to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 all in a row. You know, sometimes you have some of those things. Other times you have more of those things. But then after you've done whatever you're supposed to do, here's the key. You guys ready? Write it down. Ready? Wait and watch in faith. Wait and watch in faith. And God will show that. So again, just a little Bible study, okay? Everybody all right with it? Just a little devotional that we see here on the will of the Lord be done in our lives. Father, we thank you so much for the simplicity of your word. Let us not overlook it, Lord. Though it was short today, I believe that it was very important us to be reminded of doing your will. Doing your will. The will of the Lord be done in our lives today. Lord, as a fellowship, as individuals, we pray for our nation today. We pray the will of the Lord would be done still, Lord, in every single way. We pray for a revival. I was talking to my grandson yet last night, Vi and I were, Lord, and he wanted to know about certain things. And we took him back to when we got saved in the midst of a revival and what that looked like and what that felt like. We pray that you would bring it again. We want your will to be done that way, Lord. So thank you for these wonderful people. Thank you for this simple devotional, but the topic is important. Bless us in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.